Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. How can we keep still this day? There is joy in this place. God's steadfast love extends to everyone. God reaches out to us all in forgiveness and compassion. Thanks to God for all the wonderful blessings we have received. Let us celebrate God's joyful love for and with us. Amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne.
Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives in plea. For me,
awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity.
My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart.
Can bid me thence depart.
No tongue can bid me thence depart. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. We at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord.
Song and crown him Lord of all.
Our affirmation of faith. The Bible tells us that all people may take refuge in the shadow of God's wings. Whatever we may have done wrong, when we turn to God, we find that we are welcomed, we are forgiven, we are loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted, or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Our scripture text comes from the second chapter of John, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, I was watching a clip of the Ellen TV show, and the background to this clip is about a lady named Gladys. You see, Gladys got onto the Ellen show because she wrote a letter to Ellen complaining about where the plants were placed on the set. Apparently, this letter rather piqued Ellen's interest in just who this Gladys lady was and what she was up to. So, during one of her shows, Ellen called Gladys on the telephone. And Ellen asked Gladys, "Have you ever been on TV before?" And this is Gladys's response. She said, "Well, no." And then she said, "But I love Jesus, but I drink a little." I'm not sure why she answered it that way. Ellen hadn't asked her a theological question at all. "I love Jesus," she said, "but I drink a little." So I started wondering, as most pastors do. We have some really deep thoughts about things sometimes, you know? And so I started pondering the phrase, "I love Jesus, but I drink a little." And as I began to think about it, it started to dawn on me. You know, there is a lot of truth to this statement for a lot of people, including myself. Sometimes in my own life, there's this type of thing. I love Jesus, but... how about you? For some, it may be, "I love Jesus, but I talk a little too much behind other people's backs." Or, "I love Jesus, but I use words that hurt people sometimes." Maybe it's, "I love Jesus, but I work at a job and make a little too much money, of which I don't give back to the church." Or, "I love Jesus, but my house is just a little bit too big." And it could go on and on. We all have weaknesses in our own lives, and oftentimes we allow those weaknesses to keep us from experiencing God's transforming love and power. So there's often this hanging however in our faith. What is your hanging however? Is there anything getting in the way of your walk with Jesus? When people experience an amputation of a limb, it's said that many experience what is called phantom pain. For example, if it was one person's arm that had been removed, that person's brain still remembers the pain and sends out pain signals. Doctors have to retrain people, often by having them face a mirror and tell their brain that their arm is no longer there. And over time, the brain learns. The person gets better and is free of pain. After accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our sin and its penalty was erased, or removed, amputated, if you will. Yet we don't always live as though we are free from the pain and bondage of sin. Some of us have a hard time forgiving ourselves because of our past. We may still suffer from old guilt and self-condemnation. This is a kind of phantom pain, isn't it? And this guilt and thinking that we are not good enough for God's grace can stunt our Christian growth and cause us to want to give up or lead us into more sin. Do you love Jesus, but it may very well be nearly impossible to follow Christ if we love Jesus, but. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said to someone, "Follow me." But the person replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of God's kingdom." Someone else said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for God's kingdom." When Jesus calls us, we are to forsake our old lives. The grace of Jesus' call bursts all the bonds of sin and legalism. It breaks all the bonds of the old life. The old self is gone, has passed away. The call of Jesus is stronger than any barrier. As we face the call of Christ on our lives, we are challenged to come face to face with ourselves in the mirror of God's grace-filled word. And as we do this, we can be healed from the phantom pain, the guilt and sin, and be set free to follow Jesus in grace and with confidence. I think this morning, as we read the story of the wedding, the scripture draws us to think about John chapter 1, in which there was this ragtag group of disciples who Jesus comes to and asks them to follow him. And they're just a group of ordinary guys. And the only thing that they know is that they've chosen to follow this guy named Jesus. I wonder if they didn't sometimes say to themselves, "We want to follow this guy, but we've got all this baggage in our lives. What do we do with that?" So the question becomes, how does Jesus begin to mold and shape this group of disciples to become the people that he will send out to reach the world? And the Gospel of John tells us that on the third day, meaning after the disciples have chosen to follow Jesus, on the third day, Jesus does something miraculous that shows God's glory to those around him. And it's at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It's an interesting situation. They're at a wedding, and Middle Eastern weddings in the first century, well, they lasted a long time. They would really party hard for at least a week. And at this wedding, it just so happens that the host runs out of wine during the party. And so Mary comes to Jesus and basically says to Jesus, "They're out of wine." To which Jesus responds, basically, "It's not my problem." I mean, he's not the host of the wedding, is he? And then he says something interesting. He says, "My time has not yet come." Scholars debate all the time about what in the world Jesus is talking about here. And it's possible that what Jesus is saying is, look, there's going to be a day when I completely reveal my glory and my disciples will see it, but it's not time yet. But here is a fantastic thing about this passage. Even though Jesus says, "It's not my time," Jesus does what his mom asks him to do. Jesus is a pretty good son, isn't he? And so Mary turns to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And Jesus does something very interesting. Jesus turns to these big jugs that hold water, and Jesus tells the servants to fill them up with water. And by the way, these jugs weren't just ordinary water jars. They were used to contain water that would be used during a Jewish purification ceremony. They represent the old order, the old life of guilt and shame. So Jesus takes these ancient symbols, these water jars, and says, "Fill them up with water." And then when they open them back up, the water has been turned to wine. Jesus takes an ancient symbol and turns it into something brand new. And he does this in order to show his disciples and those around him that God can take anything old, anything new, and God can transform it into something amazing, powerful, and different. I'm convinced that no matter how old or how young we are, no matter whether we are male or female, God can take us just as we are, and God can use us to create in us something miraculous, something God can use mightily for God's wonderful kingdom. C.S. Lewis talks about Jesus turning water into wine. And what Lewis basically says is that Jesus didn't do anything in this passage that nature itself doesn't do. In other words, water causes the vine to grow, and the vine grows, and grapes are produced from the vine. Grapes are then taken and crushed into juice, and then later fermented and turned into wine. All Jesus did in this passage is that Jesus caused this process to happen in an instant. And it reminds me of this great truth. God is the master of taking the ordinary, the everyday thing, and turning it into something extraordinary. God in our lives can take all of those weaknesses, all of those hang-ups that we have, all of those stumbling blocks, and all those hanging howevers, and create something amazing out of them. So our passage continues on. And we see that Jesus, in turning the water into wine, does something very important for the host of the party. In the first century, if the host or hostess ran out of wine, it would have been really looked down upon by their peers. They ran the risk of being social outcasts. So not only does Jesus take water and turn it into wine and save their reputation, we're told that the wine was the best wine that they had had at the whole party. And normally, people would serve the best wine first. And then, when the partiers couldn't taste the wine so well, or it didn't matter much to them anymore, the cheaper wine would then be served. But Jesus saved the best for last. Not only does Jesus save the day, but Jesus makes the day that much more special. What are you dealing with in your life? What tragedies or circumstances are causing you grief and anxiety? As people who believe Jesus can turn water into wine, we have the marvelous hope that somehow, some way, God will do a beautiful thing in our lives. I think a key to this passage hinges on a little line that Mary said to the servants. Do whatever he tells you. In other words, I think the key to turning water into wine and sad stories into beautiful miracles is that as people of faith, we are to listen for the word of God. And when we hear it, we are to go and work in the world in such a way that Jesus' power flows through us and spills out onto others. And in doing this, we might just find our hanging however or I love Jesus, but those phrases vanish miraculously or is swallowed up by God's transforming love and grace. For it is in serving Jesus and serving others that we forget about ourselves and become the best that we can be. I heard a story about a mother who wanted so badly for her son to become a great piano player. So she took him to a piano concert where the greatest player in the world was performing, hoping that this would inspire her little boy to fulfill her dreams for him. So they were sitting there in their seats, waiting for the concert to begin, and the mother got distracted, speaking to an old friend who was sitting close by her. And when she finally turned back to her seat, her son was no longer there. She was wondering, well, where in the world did he go? And the show was just about to begin, and she looked up at the stage, and there on the stage was her little boy. He'd somehow gotten to the front and climbed up on the stage and was now walking with determination toward the grand piano at the center of the stage. And of course, the auditorium was packed. And the little boy walked up to the piano and he sits down and he starts to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on the grand piano. And you could begin to hear a few giggles coming from the audience. And then the great piano player suddenly walks out behind the little boy and he reaches his right hand around him and begins to fill in the notes. And he takes his left hand and reaches around and begins to play with the little boy, playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And the next thing you know is this beautiful sound fills the auditorium as folks rise to their feet in awe. We don't have to be some grand piano player. We have to listen to God play the notes in order for water to turn into wine in our lives and in the lives of this community and this world around us. May we let go of our I love Jesus buts or our howevers and embrace instead, Lord, wherever you go, I will follow. I encourage you this morning to follow the same instruction that Mary gave the servants. Do whatever he tells you to do. Won't you pray with me this morning? Holy and righteous God, my loving Abba, Father, give me each day the bread I need for food and the grace that I need to share with those around me. As I live my everyday life, please help me to see Jesus' glory at work in ways that I never have before. Father God, I don't ask this for my entertainment or for my selfish interest, but so that my faith might grow stronger and my Christian witness more powerful to your glory. Father, we will do what you tell us to do. We pray, Father, that you use us, mold us, Father, as clay, and make us yours to be used in this kingdom and in preparation for that is to come. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
silver and my gold, not of my wood I take my moments and my tale. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Take my will, it is thine own. It shall
thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.